Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. And if you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522. And on the phone right now, we're going to go back to the phones. Brian McMurray from Massachusetts. Where are you from in Massachusetts, Brian?
I'm from the Boston area.
Boston. Okay, now here's the difference between, so just so you'll know, in Massachusetts, folks leave R's out of words, like fi and chi and pike. But in the South, we add them back in, like winder and yeller. And that's how you know it. So that just gives you a little bit of inside Southern lingo there. Glad you're here with us. You're going to give us some practical information because a lot of caregivers struggle with this regard. They're watching their loved ones go down. In my case, I married someone who was already disabled. I mean, she was hurt a couple of years before I met Gracie. And so I stepped into this knowing what I was dealing with. But you're an outreach specialist, and you work for the company called Disability Benefits Help. Is that right?
Yep.
And
our organization, yeah.
And you guys are all about helping folks understand the disability process, because there are times when you're going to need to help advocate for someone to go on disability to deal with this, and they can't do it themselves. Whether it's through a sudden onset of you get a phone call and all of a sudden there's been a stroke or something and they become incapacitated, and there's a process to go through. I mean, you've got probably 1,000 nightmare scenarios you could just rattle off of what's happened to folks.
It's possible that people just don't have the records they need to establish to the Social Security Administration that they that they have a disability. There's a lot of situations where you can easily not have the information that you need or not know the information that you need to apply for disability benefits or be approved for them. Yeah.
Where do you start? Let's just start. Okay, if you're talking to somebody and they got that deer in the headlight look, because this is a lot of what's happening sometimes is that you've got a family member that's dealing with this, and they're having to play catch up in a hurry. So they got that deer in the headlight look. I know you've seen that look on numerous occasions here. Where do you start?
Well, I'd start by contacting your local SSA office. You can generally find those by going to the SSA website, ssa.gov, for the website, and you can find your local SSA offices there.
Now, do you need some type of Valium or something to calm your nerves before calling? Because I've noticed when you call government offices, my blood pressure starts going up. Now, do you recommend a sedative before you make that phone call? I was on hold with Medicare the other day for I don't know how long, and it was a little taxing. It could be a little bit. So this is not something you can make on your lunch break. Sometimes you're going to have to budget some time out for this, probably, right?
For SSDI benefits, I'm sorry, let me back up. There are two different types of benefits. There's SSDI benefits, which are based on your work record, and there's SSI benefits, which are based off of your need for them, either income-based, and you're assessed on the income that you have and your financial resources as well.
Now, a lot of the people in my audience know these initials, but for those in McDuncan who don't, SSI stands for?
Supplemental Security Income.
And SSDI?
SSDI is Social Security Disability Insurance.
Okay. All right. So those are the two types. One is based on your work history, money you've put into the system. The other is based on income need.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's where we start. But you still go to the same office when you start this process, no matter which path you're going down. Is that correct?
Yes, you can visit offices for both. However, for SSDI, you can complete it online, and they can follow up with you after complete the application online. However, for SSI, you would need to go into a Social Security Administration office.
Okay, all right. So next step then. All right, so we're going there, and again, put yourself in a position where it's a family member who's just had some kind of trauma that's happened, and they're having to play catch up, and they don't necessarily know anything about it. Almost put it in third grade ease what's the next step. So you make the phone call, you sit down with these folks. You need to show up at that office if you're going to go in person with certain records. Online, if you're going to go online and do this, you're going to need to have X records. What are those records?
Well, you're going to need medical records. You're going to need some employment records as well. Say financial records are also good as well, things of that nature. And let's see, what else would
do you need some kind of letter from the doctor?
Yes, some supporting documentation from your doctor.
Not just medical records, then some, but actually like a cover letter. Would that be helpful, or is that required?
Having a letter from your doctor saying you are disabled, you wouldn't be able to do certain things as far as work is concerned, then that would help. Yes.
Okay. All right. So we've got the records. We've got some type of doctor statement. You're going to have some kind of medical history. What about leaving work? I mean, there has to be a work interruption, and so the work interruption started at such and such date. Do you have to have that kind of documentation from an employer, or can you just say, I stopped working at that time?
Well, it's always good to have documentation from an employer. One of the things you can always do is, if you have to leave work and send them, give them that in writing, and then get some type of receipt from them for that. Yes, any type of documentation saying you are unable to work because of your disability that is from your former employer will help support your case.
All right. What are some of the – so it sounds like we've got – before you make the call, before you go online, before you go down to the office, it would behoove any – by the way, I noticed I worked in the word behoove there, John. Did you like that? John always likes
it. Oh, just beautiful. Thank you, Peter.
It would behoove. It sounds like we've got some homework to do to get ready so that we're organized and we're not floundering around. That's going to make the process a little bit easier. The more organized we are on the front end before we ever make the call, the better. Okay, so I think that we're all in agreement on that.
Good advice for life in general.
Yeah, well, that
really is.
Yeah. But
absolutely,
you don't want to just walk into it cold because the system is pretty big and it will chew people up. And, I'm fairly competent in getting around this kind of stuff and I can speak government. I don't like it, but I can do it. But a lot of people can, and they're really intimidated by this, and they're into this world where everybody's calling out all these initials of things and they don't know what it means. So let's get organized. What are some of the common mistakes that a lot of people make in this thing that you've seen in your work?
Commonly, we've had people who don't often go to a doctor and then apply, and then because they don't have the medical records or they don't have consistent medical records, or even something from a doctor saying, they have a disability or are unable to work, rather, that would lower their chances of success. They also don't have any financial documentation, and they're applying for SSI. That would be an issue as well, because they can't prove they only have a certain amount in the bank. They can't prove their income, things of that nature.
So you don't want to self-diagnose this issue.
Oh no,
that's what a lot of people say. Well, I'm disabled, and you may very well be. But you're still going to have to dot the I's and cross the T's. And
yes,
and,
absolutely.
It's and some disabilities are going to be so self-evident that you would think it would be, but you're still going to have to go through the forms. So save yourself a lot of headache before you do this. A lot of people get a lawyer to help them with all this stuff. Is that really necessary?
Yes. Well, if you get denied, which about 70% of people do on the initial application. You may need to get a lawyer. It may be a good idea. Generally, if you're denied and you want to pursue it further, you can appeal it, and you can also have an ALJ hearing, a administrative law judge hearing, and they'll actually have a legal hearing before a judge with you about the applicant's disability. Things of that nature. They'll ask questions about their work record, their ability to work, just general things like that, employment history, education. It's always good to have a lawyer on your side because they know the legal process a bit better, yeah.
But that's not necessary for the administrative law judge until you've been denied.
Yeah, it wouldn't. You wouldn't necessarily need a lawyer until you've been denied.
Okay, all right. Application. So hopefully you can get this thing. You do a lot of your own legwork and get this thing organized as best as possible, so it doesn't come to that. But if you do, there are good ones out there. What separates a good lawyer from a bad lawyer in this? Have you really kind of have you weighed those things out in your work? Because there's a lot of lawyers out there tell you to do it. I mean, you get that guy, it looks like Sal from Breaking Bad, you know, whatever. And there's a lot of – John raised up on that one. He woke up. There are a lot of lawyers out there that are, you know, not too swift. You know, how do you know you're getting a reputable lawyer here? What are some questions you might want to ask your lawyer about this? And then we'll wrap this up. But I just want to help folks because this is a scary place for folks. I mean, this is a very nerve-wracking thing.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, one of the things you'd always want to do is, how lawyers are built for disability cases is a bit different than, say, different types of legal counsel. They actually would take up to 25% or $6,000 of any back pay you might be awarded. And you always want to actually have, you know, a fee structure in place for that. Like, they're going to define, you know, what they might charge you for any other services if they do provide those. You always want to make sure you have that in, you know, in writing and agreed upon before you do anything else.
Perfect.
You also want a lawyer that's communicative with you, that will, you know, check in with you throughout the process or is just available for you to talk to. Sometimes that's one of the issues where people, you know, aren't able to talk to their lawyer, and it leads to a worse experience, and I'd think that, you know, the outcomes wouldn't be as good because you're not communicating with your legal counsel as much.
Perfect. Well, listen, if folks have additional questions and they need to get a hold of your outfit up there in Boston, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can get information from our website. It's www.disability-benefits-help.org. And you can also email us at help@ssd-help.org as well.
All right. Listen, and I'll post this on the website as well and put this out in a blog post. This is really helpful information, Brian, and it means a lot that you took time on your Sunday afternoon to call in. This is just part of the journey of being a caregiver. I mean, this is part of the reality that we deal with, and you are providing some practical solutions for folks, and it really means a lot. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Absolutely.
All right. Well, this is Brian McMurray out of Boston. And you know what? We didn't even have to use subtitles for each other. I think that's wonderful, Brian.
Absolutely.
Listen,
all right, Peter, y'all, have a great day.
As we say, y'all have a good day up there in Boston.
absolutely.
It's going to be a wicked great day in Boston. Hey, listen, this is Peter Rosenberger. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. We are glad you're with us. We got more to go when we come back. 800-688-9522. 800-688-9522 if you want to be on the show. Thanks so much. We'll be right back.